Like Scott almost said, get your act in gear. I want to ask you to be in prayer this next week. As Gary Bob shared, Judy Koza is preparing for her final trip, and so we need to pray for Kathy and Joel and their family. And also we need to continue to pray for the Tippetts, particularly Tom and Bob. They're not doing well, either one, and we need to keep them in prayer. And of course, little Elijah, who we just pray that he would be healed from this cancer. And also, Ken Seaman, kind of unexpectedly, is heading back to Hawaii because, if I understood him right, his father-in-law has passed away. That's what you said. And so that kind of takes Ken by a little bit of surprise here. So let's lift these different needs up to the Lord right now. Father, we pray for the Tippett family. We pray for Kathy and Joel and their family. We pray, God, that you'd bless them. This is something that we all know is going to happen, but for some reason it's something that we're never quite fully prepared for. We especially pray for Kathy and Joel and their children, and we pray for Bob and Tom Tippett. Thank you for Dan, his hard work, and we just pray that you'd bless both of those families. And Lord, we lift up little Elijah to you again. We pray that your continued hand of healing would be upon his body, that this cancer would be gone and every cell in his body would be functioning the way that it should be. So we commit him to you and his family as well. And God be with Ken as he heads back to Hawaii to support his wife and family there. Thank you that he could be with us. We pray that your hand would be upon him and that you'd bless him as well. God, we pray for our world. It is truly in disarray. And as your word has said, there are wars and rumors of war never ending. And Father, I pray that the church, the children of light, the true church, the followers of Jesus, not the denomination, but the followers of Jesus, God, would rise up, and Lord, that we might be a light unto the world, that we might be the salt, that we might be a people of hope, a people of righteousness, peace, and joy, that even though the world is in disarray, that they might see in us the true hope of eternal life and life here on earth as well. We pray, God, for the families in Israel, in Gaza, in Lebanon, in the countries that are surrounded. We just pray, God, that there would be a ceasefire, that this could be over, and that loved ones could return to their families. Protect, guide the world leaders, especially our president and Mr. Netanyahu. Give them wisdom from you through this time. But God, most of all, I pray right now for this group that's gathered today right here, that you'd help us to be a people of hope, a people of joy, a people of love, because many right in our community are afraid and confused. And we thank you that you're not a God of fear. Fear is a liar. And you're the God of righteousness, peace, and joy. So we come before you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I forget it, next week we're going to have a baptism. And maybe in the past, whatever, you've decided you're going to follow Jesus. And this is something new for you. And that's a wonderful thing. But Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So baptism is one of the first steps in our Christian lives. So if you need to be baptized, I invite you to give me a ring this week or call the church. Karen will pass it on to me. And I would love to get together with you and talk about baptism, because that's a first and very important step in our lives. And as Jesus shared with us, it's an important one, because he who believes and is baptized, baptism in itself, by the way, we'll be going to the Good Heart Beach for baptism. No, not really. Speaking of that defibrillator, I'd encourage all of you to come to that training thing, because if that thing's ever put on me, I want you to know where to put it, okay? Anyway, baptism next Sunday. Important. Men of faith speak. Men of faith speak. It was kind of funny. Elizabeth Newberry does the slides for me, and she must have read the scripture that I had, and then she wrote back and she said, "Maybe you should change the title." And so I did change the title a little bit. This is not the original title. Men of faith speak. And as you'll see later on, when we speak, we're speaking as people of faith. That's not really the question. The real question is, who do we put our faith in? Do we put our faith in Almighty God? Do we put our faith in ourselves? Do we put our faith in someone, some person? And we're going to see that these men, as they spoke, they put their faith somewhere, but it's not always putting our faith in God. In 1984, I remember hearing Billy Graham speak, and at one of his crusades, he made the statement to the world. He said, "You have seen the last war fought over territorial boundaries. From now on to the end of time, till Jesus comes, every war will be a religious war." In 1984. And I thought to myself, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? But what you're seeing today, right now, in the Middle East, it's not about territories. It's not about who lives in the Gaza and who lives in Egypt and who lives in Israel. As a matter of fact, perhaps you heard the son of the primary Hamas leader this week speak. It is totally about religion. Isn't it intriguing when you think about it? The children of Israel, they're not like Baptists. No criticism, honestly, of Baptists. When I was little, before Mom brought us to this church, we used to go to the Baptist church. And at the time, there was a pastor there. His name was Reverend Halder. And he was an old-time hell and brimstone pastor. And I'll tell you, he scared the hell out of me. And when I say that, he spoke so graphically about what hell was going to be like that I didn't want to go anywhere near it. I knew from very young that if I followed my own way, that's where I was going to end up. And I didn't want anything to do with it. But the children of Israel are interesting, are they? Have you ever been, as a matter of fact, when Mary and I were in Chicago back in the early 70s, there were a lot of these street evangelists, they called them. Matter of fact, I was going to Moody Bible at the time, and one of our assignments in evangelism class was actually to go out on a street corner and preach. That was really interesting. North Chicago, I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but there was a place called Old Town, and it was really an interesting place. And so the Satan worshipers would gather around these 55-gallon barrels on a corner, and they'd have fires in them. And, you know, they'd be just standing around there trying to recruit people to Satanism. And so one night we decided we're going to go down there, and we'll try to evangelize some of these Satan guys. And it was really intriguing. We got close to the barrel, maybe 20 or 30 feet away, and the people around the barrel kind of separated and looked at us and said, "We hadn't said a word. Get away. We want nothing to do with you." There was so much spiritual tension between us and the demonic forces that you could certainly feel it, but you could almost see it. But back to my point. How many of you have ever been evangelized by a Jew? How many of you have ever been invited to come and join the Jewish movement or nation? Some of you are pretty close to it. Anybody? I never have. Have you? Okay. I never have. Now, how many of you have ever been approached by a Baptist or by a Christian, seriously, and ask, "Hey, I want to invite you to accept Jesus"? Now, Billy Graham also said at one point, he said, "Sometimes Christians are persecuted for the sake of Christ. Other times, Christians are persecuted for their own stupidity." You know? You've seen both. You've seen both, haven't you? But my point is, there is such a hatred for the children of Israel in the nations that is, to me, it's, I don't understand it. Why do Egyptians hate the Jews? Why do people from Jordan and Lebanon, they hate the Jews? It's a spiritual thing, I believe. We don't fully understand it, and I don't think we ever will truly understand it, but there is a hatred in our world for people of God who identify with Almighty God. And that's not going to change. It's going to get worse. I hope this morning that when you leave, that you leave with the understanding that Jesus said that you and I are to be the light of the world. It was interesting to sit in this meeting this past week of the elders and the ministry board And frankly, it did my heart good to hear Scott and others around him say, there's 2,000 reasons that we need to do this. If ever in our community the light needs to shine bright for Christ, it's now. Folks, it's now. Jesus said to go into all the world. Okay? Is COVID real? You bet. Is all of these other threats around us, and is it going to be convenient to do a journey to Bethlehem? No. Is it going to be hard work? Yes. Jesus didn't say, when COVID subsides, go into all the world. He didn't say, when it's convenient, go into all the world. He said, you are the light of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Shine brightly. And folks, that's not going to change. That is needed now in our community as badly as it's ever been, and it will get more so. So I hope, Jesus said, always be prepared. Always be prepared to give account for the hope that lies within you. Are you prepared? It's pretty simple. It really is pretty simple. Satan has convinced us it's scary, like we're saying. He's a liar. Your friends who don't know Jesus need to hear about Jesus because he's the hope of the world. The hope of the world is not Netanyahu. The hope of the world is not President Biden. The hope of the world is not the United States. The hope of the world is Jesus alone. Okay? And you're the ambassador. You're the one who God has said, you are the light of the world if you're a Jesus follower. Men of faith speak. So here we are. The Exodus of Egypt is over. It's past with all its miracles. 3 million people participated in that and saw how God miraculously delivered the children of Israel. The children of Israel are right now on the perimeter of the promised land, 11 days away. Moses sent out the spies to check out the promised land, and the spies returned with their findings. Caleb stands up in Numbers 13:30. And this was Caleb's message to the people of Israel for what he had seen. Tommy, read, please.
Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.
The promised land. Caleb has faith. Faith in Almighty God. Now, I thought this was interesting. This is the promised land. But Caleb says, we got to go up and we got to take possession of the promised land. Why? Well, because others are living in the promised land. God said it's yours. But there's somebody already there. So you got to go drive them out. One of the professors that I had at Moody, he said, the Old Testament is a physical picture of a spiritual dynamic. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and you invite him into your life, is there a total void in your life? No. There's already things in your life, right? The Apostle Paul says, put off the old and put on the new. You see, you have a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But in you is the old man. When you accept Jesus, you got to get rid of the old man. Right? We know that. As a matter of fact, I'm over 50 years old. And I've been working at getting rid of the old man for a long time. It's a never-ending process, isn't it? Where I look at myself and I say, is this like Jesus? And no. I had to put that off, and I got to put on Jesus. You see, Jesus died for me. Jesus, God promised the promised land, but there's somebody living there. You got to get rid of those people that are living there. You got to drive them out so you can possess the land. It's a spiritual picture of who we are. In all of our lives, there's the old man. To receive the promise that Jesus made to us, we can only do that as we get the old man out of our lives and enjoy the new man. Jesus said, or Paul says, that his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Do you have righteousness, peace, and joy? That song that Dennis and Candy led us in, Fear is a Liar. I've talked to some of you who've had panic attacks. I've never had the privilege of that, I don't think. But I've seen people have panic attacks. When we're in that kind of a state, you don't have to have a panic attack to be in that kind of a state, but when fear overtakes you, there is no righteousness. Because righteousness says you're in a right relationship with God. And in him, in his love, there is no fear at all. Okay? So, as we come to Jesus and the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and our lives, he gives us the power to make the choice and say, fear be gone, righteousness come. I know in God that before him, my relationship is right. And he's almighty. He's mightier than all the evils and all the threats that this world can put forth. And I'm his. So there's no place. Perfect love drives out all fear. When I realize how much God loves me and cares for me and will hold me to him, there's no place for fear. I had one of the best professors in the world teach me that. You know who she was? My mom. You've had people in your lives who have taught you or attempted to teach you the very same thing. But you see, it's a daily choice. You can look at all the horrors that are going on television and you can enter into a place of fear because of what you're seeing. We're going to talk about that next Sunday probably. But understand that as Caleb speaks to the people and he says, we need to go in and take possession of this land, this just isn't about the promised land 4,000, 6,000 years ago. This is about your life today. You have a choice every day whether you're going to take the promised land or you're going to live in the land of fear and hatred and vengeance. Every day we make that choice. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know how that's going to happen? It's going to happen through you. Jesus said, pray this prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Who's going to do his will? You are. You are. Just like Caleb. Who's going to do your will? God. We are the children of Israel. That was the voice that they heard. Then a different voice came in Numbers 13, 31 through 33. Tommy?
But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.
Keep going.
And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. Come from the Nephilim, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.
How many men went to spy on Canaan? 12. We sing the song, you know, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Were 10 really bad? They all saw the same thing, didn't they? They all saw the same thing. But 10 came back with different interpretation of what they saw. And Caleb and Joshua said, oh no. Yeah, we saw all those things too, but our faith is in Almighty God and His promise. The other 10 said, we can't. We can't attack. They're stronger than we are. How do you do? How do you do? As you look at this movie, you know, this wasn't a movie. This was real. As you look at the movie of life right now, what do you see? Do you see hope? I don't like what I see on the world stage. I really don't. But then there's a part of me that says, this is the most exciting time to be alive in the history of the world. And I believe that. I believe that. We're on the threshold of seeing God do things that He planned from the creation of the world. And I'm excited about that. But you see, if I let the fear take over from what I see on television going on, then I'm paralyzed. God is counting on you and me to be the light of the world. To hold that light up. To not share in the fear and the uncertainty that the world is consumed in right now. You're a chosen people. a people of faith, a people of hope, a people of righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Spirit, you can't simply make a decision here and in your own power say, I'm going to be a people of hope and I'm going to be happy. That's not it, folks. It's the supernatural power of God's Holy Spirit in your life that gives you the ability to be the light of the world. You can't do it on your own. It's a miracle. The good news is, that's who God is. He's the God of miracles. He's been involved in this miracle business forever. It's no big deal to him. That's just who he is. We were riding along, and I got one of those little truckster three-wheelers that they use on the golf course. And I had my grandson Warner with me, and he wanted to drive. Well, this thing, this old thing, I don't know how old it is, but it's got a gearbox right under the steering wheel. And I mean, it's like power steering, maybe the precursor to power steering or something, Mike. I don't know how it works. But you can turn that steering wheel just like this. There's only one wheel up there. So if you're going along 10 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you make a right turn instantly, and you're sitting in the front of that thing, you get ejected. Because 10 miles an hour are not very fast, but when you do that, it's just amazing. You know, even though you're not going that fast, you're out of there. So he wanted to drive, and I'm not really paying that much attention because we're going so slow, and all of a sudden Warner and I are ejected. Because he learned to ride his bicycle, you know, without his hands. So now he can ride everything without his hands. Not that three-wheeler. So he ended up with a broken collarbone, and I ended up with some bruises too. The point I want to make is, the Holy Spirit, as you invite him, and we talked about this long and hard for a lot of weeks, that once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he takes you from the kingdom of the world and places you in the kingdom of God. So you're no longer, as a Christian, a part of the kingdom of the world. You're a part of the kingdom of God, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into the body of Christ. That's a miracle. The second part of that miracle is that the Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell in you. The essence of that is this, that if we allow him to, he steers the boat. He steers our life. He doesn't let go of the steering wheel. All right? He steers our lives. He leads you and he guides you. He teaches you. He convicts you. That's all part of the work of the miracle of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a miracle. It truly is. So I hope as you leave this morning that you leave as a people of hope, because you're the light of the world. You're the hope of the earth. The poor people around you without Jesus have nothing. They have nothing. And I'd be scared to death too if I didn't have Jesus. I would. But with him, we have it all, folks. You're the hope of the world. You're the light of, you know, share with your people. When you hear the fear from people, share with them. If I didn't have Jesus, I'd be scared too. That will open a door, and you're going to have opportunity after opportunity in the days to come, the months to come. You're going to have opportunities to share with people who are concerned and scared. And let your first line be, if I didn't have Jesus, I'd be scared too. But with Jesus, I have righteousness, peace, and joy, because the Holy Spirit is living in my life. Now, is that perfect? Are you perfect in doing that? No. There's going to be times when you don't have any peace, when you're going to be scared, and you're going to have to come back to Him and say, God, I forgot who You are. Forgive me. That's a part of putting off that old man and putting on the new. Are we perfect in that? Afraid not. Afraid not. We all struggle with that, don't we? God bless you. He loves you, and you're precious in His sight as you follow Him. Father, we give You praise. We thank You that You're the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, the beginning and the end, the everlasting Savior. And Father, we give You praise. And God, I pray right now that if there's anyone here that has not committed their life fully to You and been baptized, Lord, that this might be the day that they make that decision to come to You in obedience, to be filled with Your Holy Spirit and walk the life of faith, righteousness, peace, and joy. And we give You praise, God, that You're the Almighty God, the God of miracles. And we commit this world to You, God, that our world would see, even through us, the miraculous God that You are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.